I only have one thing to say. Hallelujah. Because he deserves it. How many of you have ever been in a place of need? I know it's a dumb question, right? We've all been needy at one time or another. Whether it's a health issue, maybe finances, maybe a problem with someone at work. Could be any number of things. We've all, through the course of our lives, been in places of need. And we cry out to God. We wonder, Lord, what's going on? I'm doing all the things I'm supposed to do. I go to church. I pray. I read the Word. I do all the things that I think I'm supposed to do. But yet, why do these things happen? Why do I find myself in a place of need? And we question. Why does God allow it to happen? Well, it's true, he does allow it to happen, but in some cases, he actually brings it upon us. And there are reasons for that. Why he brings us to a place of need. There are many reasons. First of all, he wants to demonstrate to us, or show us, how helpless we really are to solve our own problems. You can put the first scripture up. You're familiar with this one, I'm sure. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. We're familiar with that scripture, we believe it's true, but yet every time something happens, we're off trying to solve our own problems or take care of things by ourselves. We should bring everything to God, no matter how big, no matter how small. Because I think deep down inside of our hearts, we think we can take care of things. And that's part of human nature. And that's certainly part of the world. But God wants to show us that we really can't take care of our own needs. We can't. Apart from him, we can do nothing. I can't stand here apart from him. I can't take my next breath apart from him. I can't do anything. And that reality needs to sink in to us, that we need to depend on God. Where does that lead to? Well, when we're in that place of need and we realize our helplessness, then God can reveal to us who he really is. Here's a scripture, and there are a lot that pertain to this, but this is when God was telling Moses, I'm going to send you to Egypt to bring his people out. But then Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. God is the great I am. And what does that mean to us? It means whatever our need is, he's the answer. He is everything to us. If you have financial difficulties, he's the one that can provide. Health issues, he's the one who can provide. No matter what your situation is, no matter what your need is, God is the great I am. He's saying, I am everything to you. Everything. I can meet your need. That's something else that really needs to sink in to us. Who God really is. And he wants to reveal that to us, but he often can't do that unless we're in a needy situation because we think we can handle it ourselves. And God is saying, no, you can't, but I can for you. And sometimes we're a little stubborn or reluctant to turn to him because we think that we should be able to handle our own affairs. But that's not the way God's kingdom works. He is the great I Am and is our resource for everything. And once that really sinks into us, or we recognize that in our situation, He can then demonstrate His faithfulness to us in providing for the things that we need. From Hebrews 10:23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. There are so many scriptures that talk about God's faithfulness, but we have to recognize who He is. And then we can see the evidence of His faithfulness, because by faith, okay, we will trust Him to meet our needs. We won't panic. We won't try and strive to solve our own problems and meet our own needs. Yes, there are things that we need to do, but He will direct us on what to do and how to do things. I mean, you've heard testimony from Jonah. It's happened to me. I'm sure it's happened to you on occasions. You've had needs, and suddenly they're met, sometimes without even praying about it. And for this church, too. Many times we've prayed about needs for the church. God provides. God provides. I look at the efforts that go with OCC, packing the shoeboxes and everything, especially this last time, this special 1,000 shoebox task. Granted, we didn't pack 1,000, but you know, we packed over 400, and God supplied. You know, in looking at it, you say, how can this happen? How can we get enough stuff to pack 400 and some odd shoeboxes? Where are we going to get the shipping money? Where are we going to go to all the people to pack that many? And what do? We relied on God because we had a need. And He says, I'm the great I Am. I can provide for you. And we saw God's faithfulness. He met the need. Everything got done. We were swarmed with people upstairs. And so many donations. And I don't think we had to spend the money, a bit of our own money on shipping, did we?
We did.
We did?
But not a lot.
Not a lot.
Because 74 more boxes came in.
Oh, yeah.
And we split the cost with
Kendra. Yeah, okay. But even there, God, there were many donations that came in. In some cases, thousands of dollars, right? For the overall 1,000 shoeboxes. Amazing, amazing. God is faithful. But we have to recognize who He is, and then He can demonstrate that faithfulness. Because if we doubt, or if there's unbelief in our lives, oh, that can't happen, or no, there's no way that, you know, God can provide this for us, or whatever. You start talking like that in negative terms, with unbelief, it's not going to happen. Because God recognizes faith, and faith is positive. Faith is trusting God. Faith is believing that He is who He says He is, and that He will meet our needs. So that's the next part of why He puts us in places of need, to recognize our helplessness, then to see who He really is, and then to see His faithfulness. And what that does then is it creates in us an ever-increasing and total dependence on Him, which is really what He wants. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experienced in the province of Asia. This is Paul speaking. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death. Does that sound like he's needy? He was needy. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He felt like they were going to die. But God is trying to teach us that we can be totally, completely dependent on Him. We are to rely on Him for everything. Yes, we still have to use the talents and skills and abilities that that He has given us, but then even that comes from Him. He wants us to be totally reliant on Him. What happens if we're not? What happens if we struggle through something and meet a need that we have, regardless of what it is? It's so easy for us to boast, I did this. I took care of this, that. I didn't need any help. I did it. God never gets any glory that way. We're robbing God of the glory that is rightfully His when we struggle through and strive to do something when we should be relying on Him. Because when He provides, we can just praise Him and thank Him, and He gets the glory, which is rightfully His anyway. And that's the way it's supposed to be in God's kingdom. We rely totally on Him. Think about it for a moment. What freedom there is in that. I don't have to worry about anything. If I truly know God and believe the promises that He has made, that frees Him up to demonstrate His faithfulness and to provide for every need I have. What freedom there is in that, that I don't have to worry. How many times in Scripture does He say, don't worry? You worry about so many things. You worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear, where you're going to go. He said, look at the birds. They don't do any of that, but yet God feeds them. They don't grow any food of their own. They don't do anything to generate it, but God feeds them. That's the way God wants it for us too. Well, we don't have to strive. We don't have to worry. We don't have to struggle. We just trust Him and believe Him. And He provides one way or another. And the end result of all of that, I think there's one more scripture, isn't there? No, that's it. When we get to that place, then there's a certain humility that is in our lives. We recognize that we can't accomplish the things that we want to. We're helpless without Him. But yet we trust Him. We recognize who He is and how faithful He is. And there's a certain humility in that. We learn then who we truly are in Christ. Beloved children of God. And for any of you who are parents or will be parents at some point in time, you know that your children, you want to give them everything that you possibly can. You want to take care of them. You feed them, you clothe them. You give them advice, even though they don't take it. You do so much for your kids because you love them so much. God is no different. You are His beloved children. He just wants you to rest in that fact. When you learn who you truly are in Christ, joint heirs with Jesus, you're going to inherit the kingdom. You're going to rule and reign with Christ. There's scriptures that talk about that. When we learn who we truly are and live in the humility that goes along with that, then we grow in our faith and our ability to trust God for all our needs. How many of you have ever asked, God, I want more faith. I want greater faith. I remember there's a scripture that talks about the disciples. Lord, increase our faith. I've said that to him myself, and many of you probably have. You want increased faith? This is how you get it. God puts you in a place of need, shows you that you can't handle it yourself. He shows you that who he is and that he can handle it. Then he shows you his faithfulness. And you learn to be dependent on him as his beloved children. And your faith increases because you've learned that you can trust him. You've learned that there's nothing impossible for him. Now, I'm not saying things happen overnight, that he provides right away, but he does provide. Because it takes time for these things to sink into us, these truths. But they need to sink in and really become a part of us. And I think one of the most important aspects is just really seeing who God is and how powerful he is and how much he loves each and every one of us. Everything else, I think, is centered around that. So if you're needy, rejoice. Say hallelujah anyway. Because God has you in the place that he wants you to be in. And you're going to grow as a result of it. And you're going to see more clearly who he is and how much he cares for you. And your faith is going to grow as a result. So praise God. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, your ways are often strange to us. And they're certainly different. But they are higher than our ways. They are better than our ways. And we thank you, Lord. Help us to truly see who you are. To see you like we've never seen you before, Lord. To be awestruck by your glory and your presence and your majesty. And that we, Lord, will just give you control over our lives. Help us to be dependent on you, Lord. Because you don't want us to fret and worry and get all stressed out over anything. You just want us to exercise our faith and trust in you because you will do it all. You love to dote on your children, but we just need to believe you and trust you. Our faith will increase, Lord, but help us to see our need of you and to see you in a new light, that we might indeed grow in faith. For without faith, it is impossible to please you. But you are working that in us through our needy times. So we thank you, Lord. And indeed, we do say hallelujah. For you are an awesome God, and we love you. And thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.